This is the Trevor J. Brown Show. We have a great guest for you this evening. Andrew Pruitt is our guest, and the latest book from him is called Shaped by Water, which is available now through Fox Point Publishing. You can get more information available online at foxpointpublishing.com/author-Andrew-Pruitt. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us here.
You're welcome. I'm very excited.
Well, let's dive right into this, and we'll go into chapter one of your book. The first chapter is called I Care About Water. Let our listeners know why you care about water so much, and where did you develop this sense of caring for water?
Well, I'll actually backtrack just a little bit. I didn't think I was going to be an author, never thought I'd be an author, and I was working on the pandemic stuff with Mayo Clinic. You know, there was the pandemic response. Everybody was kind of getting depressed, and my wife and my mother said, why don't you write a book? There's this contest at the Rochester Public Library, and it's about water. Can you write about water? Well, anybody who knows me knows that I love water. I spend as much of my free time doing things in and around the water as I can, either adventuring, taking my son on walks around ponds and streams. He and I both have a deep passion for fishing, but we also canoe and kayak. You know, water draws us, and it's done that for my whole life. And when I was a child, my parents gave me the opportunity to be very independent and to entertain myself outside. And I ended up making friends with some kids about a mile away, and we would walk, my brother and I would walk across this farm field so many times back and forth over the summer. We wore a path through the farmer's alfalfa field right down to the bare dirt. And next to my neighbor's house was Bear Creek. And we would play in Bear Creek. You know, it was spring, summer, winter, fall. We were there and loved it. And often I would go there by myself. So I fell in love with the water, I think, at that point. Although I was swimming and, you know, things like that at the local YMCA and just really enjoying that otherworldly factor that water, you know, brings to our life. So that's what really attracted me. The stories in the book are when I became an adult, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I had some friends that were like, hey, let's join the Air Force. And I said, well, maybe. And I went to the recruiter, and of course went to the recruiter many times, and they had pizza, and we played softball games, and you know, they showed me all these different career fields, and none of them really attracted me. I was like, well, you know, I'm a patriot, I love my country, I don't know. And then they showed me this video of some combat control pararescue guys going through SEER training: survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. And I said, I want to teach that. And they said, well, you can't teach it. You have to be in for a while, and then you cross-train over. I said, okay, sign me up. And I signed up to be a combat controller. And I, you got to take an ASVAB test, and you've got to, pass some physical tests. I blew all the tests out of the water. At least my recruiter told me I did. So I joined. I went in. For combat control, special forces training, went through combat water survival training, some really wild stuff. It's in the book. I became very confident in the water, and I'm still confident. And when I, you know, I met my wife many years after I was out of the service, and, you know, we had my son Theodore, and I decided that I would teach him the things I knew. I mean, the military was really good for me. And they, one thing about the military is they want you to be there if you want to be there. And they're going to do whatever they can do to make sure that you are successful, even if it's not in the career field that you choose, because they'll move you around and they'll try to find a place where you fit. I wasn't a great swimmer. I was good, but you had to be, for special forces, you've got to be great. And what they would do is they would take video cameras underwater. Now, this is at request. So I asked them, I said, you know, I'm not swimming as well as I could. You know, I'm not making my times. I need, you know, some instruction. And they took video cameras. They filmed me underwater. We went in on our days off. And they instructed me, you know, I had Olympic, you know, coaches, basically Olympic swimming coaches, teaching me how to improve my stroke, swim faster, you know, improve my breathing. And I got really good. And so I decided I would teach my son how to swim. And so when he was, right after he was born, like within the week, we were taking him to the swimming pool and getting him in the water and just getting him comfortable with the water. And, so I taught him how to swim, and he's a very good swimmer today.
Do you feel when you're in nature, Andrew, you're your most true self?
I can hear who I am when I'm there. Mm-hmm. And you hear yourself in the silence. And you connect in a way with the world around you that you cannot do in an artificial environment, in a building or, you know, in a car, even in a tent. You really, it's that connection that defies words. You know, there's more to life than what's inside four walls, and it's inexplainable, but you can feel it. And anybody who's been in these wild places where there is silence or only the sounds of nature can attest to that.
Andrew Pruitt is our guest. You can get his latest book. It's called Shaped by Water. It's available at foxpointpublishing.com/author-Andrew-Pruitt, and that's P-R-U-E-T-T. Andrew, chapter 4, I want to go back there for a second. You talk about your time in the Air Force and combat water training. Was there a specific moment that inspired you to serve our country? And for people that may be listening today, what advice would you give to someone who's considering serving our country in some form of the military?
I think it's absolutely a great place to go. There was no turning point for me. I can't think of a time that I haven't loved this country and been a patriot. If you're a student of history, there are black and dark moments in our history. There's no question about it, just like there are dark moments in every person's life story. But we belong to this country. I belong to this country, and therefore, I believe in working within the systems that exist to make it better. And if we each try to do our part to make the world a better place, and in my backyard, that's because I live here in this country, that means serving my country. And at that point, as a young person, you know, I didn't grow up thinking I'm going to join the service. Nobody in my family was in the service. You know, you could go back to some Civil War stuff, but, you know, my dad wasn't, my grandfather wasn't. But I always had this passion for helping other people. And I wouldn't have joined had I not found a career field that looked like it matched with my interests. Now, there are two sides to that story. I also explored going to college, and I had a negative experience visiting the colleges, and I had a positive experience looking for something, you know, in the services. And I think that serving in our armed forces is an excellent, outstanding way to serve your country, and it helped me grow into a strong, confident young man.
In the book, you talk about becoming a father. How did that whole experience, I guess, as a whole, change your life?
Phenomenal. It's inexplainable to anyone who hasn't had a child, I think. So I'll speak for myself. I have a set of morals and values and beliefs that I have espoused, you know, for a very long time, you know, prior to becoming married, prior to becoming a father. And then I became a father, and all of a sudden, the inconsistencies became very strongly visible to me, and I started living up to those values and beliefs that I had held and espoused in more fundamental and profound ways, because I knew that my child was watching and he was looking up to me. And I changed my behavior for the better, and I became a much better person. I'm not saying I was a bad person in any way, shape, or form, but you know what? There, if we set our own goals and we have our own, you know, measures for ourselves, I can say that I reached the standard that I had set for myself, especially strong in those early years, you know, being a new father, you know, becoming aware of the inconsistencies and then working very hard to move into a place where I was authentic to the person that I wanted to be. And I brought, you know, there was a match, you know, a very strong match. And I think that a child shows you your inconsistencies because they're going to, you know, for example, being on the phone, right? Okay, you want to interact with people, but you're on the phone. You're not interacting with people. You're interacting with the phone. So we go to the zoo or whatever, and pretty soon the kid wants to just play with the phone, not look at the animals. So I started putting my phone in my pocket when I was around my son. I just, you know, and my wife was doing the same thing. We were, you know, we started limiting the screen time and playing games where we were face-to-face, going out for walks, doing, you know, camping and putting the screen away. I didn't realize how much I was on the phone until all my son wanted to do was have the phone. And, you know, another thing was eating habits. You know, always, you know, let's eat healthy, let's eat healthy, let's eat healthy. I was eating unhealthy, and my son was, you know, he wanted to eat donuts all the time. He wanted to eat this stuff that I always want, you know, kind of my guilty pleasures. And I found myself especially struggling to give up donuts. We would go to church, and there would be donuts, you know, during the after service, you know, fellowship. And I would always get donuts, and then he, you know, one donut for a little kid is like going to fill their whole tummy. You know, you think it's a sugar rush for you. It's, you know, 100 times that for, you know, a small child. And so I started giving that up, and I found myself fighting very hard because I'd take him to the nursery, and then I would find myself, because I didn't want to eat the donut in front of him, I'd go back to the kitchen, and the kitchen ladies, you know, the church ladies would give me donuts. And then I kept saying, I can't do this. I've got to stop. And, you know, eventually I did, you know, and we've come full circle now. I mean, we don't significantly limit that stuff for him, but we've come to a healthier balance. You know, he's 10 now, and he gets donuts sometimes.
Andrew Pruitt is our guest. I want to go back. You talked a little bit about faith. What role has faith played in your life? Was there a moment in your life where that came to you?
So again, people have asked me that question many times before, and I don't think so. I was born into a family that went to the First Presbyterian Church in Rochester, and I just remember loving going to church. I loved the sound of the organ. You know, I enjoyed the community that was there. Everybody knew who I was. It was such a loving and kind group of people. And as I got older and the choice was given to me, you know, if I wanted to stay home or continue going to church, not only did I choose to go to church, but I didn't want to go to Sunday school. I wanted to sit in the congregation and listen to the sermons. I really got a lot out of the sermons and the music that was being played. And so the answer is no. It's just been a place where I've always felt at home. And since then, I've gone to many different kinds of churches. I have friends that are of different faiths or no faith at all. And I've always attended whatever church was closest to me. So I went to a Southern Baptist church when I was in the service. I didn't understand why everybody didn't go to church because it was the only time you got off. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the service, that's where I went to the Southern Baptist church. And the pastor's wife would always come out and give us some home cooked something or other, and it was absolutely wonderful. And the preaching went on, you know, for 4 or 5 hours, and I loved it. It was all fire and brimstone, and you know, and then I ended up going to a Baptist church, not a Southern Baptist, but a different Baptist church in London, England. That was a very eye-opening experience. It was from people all over the world. There were Iraqi Christians there. There were Coptic Christians there. There were, you know, I lived between the largest gurdwara outside of Rajasthan, India, which is a Sikh place of worship, and to my understanding, the largest mosque in London, which was a converted castle.
Wow.
And so there was very few Christians in this area, and I was teaching at a school where the instructors were either atheists, there was one Catholic lady, and then all the students were divided into three groups. There was the Hindus, the Sikhs, and the Muslims. And then they had me teach religion. Nobody else wanted to teach it, so I taught religion. This is really funny. I taught religion and sex education.
Wow, what a combo.
It was quite a combo, yeah. And then to be teaching religion to kids who had no experience with any other religion than their own. These were all students who had come from these countries, which had they were either very divided, they were war-torn, you know, or the communities were segregated into their faith enclaves and very little mixing. So in England, it's required that all students get to have religion, or have to have religion taught, and you teach about Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Judaism, and then you divide some of those up into different groups. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And I was able to connect with these children as a Christian because I spoke authentically from my own strong faith and without any intent to, you know, convert. And then they were able to connect with me because they all had strong faith in their own belief system, and we learned from each other. And it was absolutely wonderful. There's a lot more to that story, but I feel like I'm going down a rabbit hole, so you can...
No, that's
I'll stop there.
That's important, because I've had a lot of conversations, I feel like, in the last month about, as Christians, we need to be more confident in our voice and be able to talk about our faith with other people, family and friends and strangers, and on podcast interviews and all of that. And I feel like that's important. We need to get out in the community. Community is such a big piece of Christianity. And it's just interesting how you mentioned that. Andrew Pruitt is our guest. The book is called Shaped by Water. Andrew, you've been many places around the world. Do you have a favorite?
I do. I am here in Minnesota because this is my favorite place to be on Earth. I've been to 27 different countries, roughly. I've spent up to a month in some, and others I stayed for a year. And I've been to all 50 states. I am through and through a Minnesotan. I feel most at home here. I love our community. I like the way Minnesotans are, think about this. Okay, this gives you an example of what I value and why I value Minnesotans. So we had, a number of years ago, we had a Republican governor, Tim Pawlenty. We had a Republican legislature, and I think it was Republican in the House and the Senate. And somehow we ended up with nobody wanted to raise taxes, but we ended up with the constitutional amendment on the ballot to invest in our natural resources and increase our own taxes, right? So the legislature wasn't willing to take the vote, but they put it on the ballot. And even though, if I'm recalling this correctly, Republicans won up and down the ballot, everybody voted for the constitutional amendment. Was like a 76%, you know, majority. And that means that, you know, Democrats and Republicans came together for our shared values and agreed to spend this money, you know, and to tax ourselves. So the legislature didn't they weren't willing to do it, and yet there was a, I would call that a supermajority, you know, of Minnesotans. And I find that, you know, other places, I hate the divide that we have in this country. And in Minnesota, I find that it is easier for us to talk to people whom we might on the surface seem to disagree with and find that, in fact, we have shared values. And we're, you know, Minnesota Nice is not a joke. There's, you know, people say, oh, it's shallow. It's not shallow. It runs through and through to the people. It's part of the culture here. And no other state, you know, has its unofficial, you know, mantra as, you know, Minnesota Nice or the niceness of, you know, there's the, you know, the politeness of the South, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's polite, but nice. There's a difference between polite and nice. Nice goes deeper.
Andrew Pruitt is here with us. I totally agree with you on that. A couple quick questions before I let you go. Are there plans for a follow-up to Shaped by Water? Could there be a sequel?
Yeah, I would I would love to write another book. This is just the beginning of the stories that I have. I mean, there's 17 stories in here. There were a strong set of limits on the, you know, for the book contest that I entered and won at the Rochester Public Library. And I wrote several chapters that didn't belong to it, that wouldn't fit into it. And I would like to write another one. I've gone along some created a whole world for my son, an imaginary world where we talked about the morals and values of the daily struggles that we had. And I could go that direction. And I've also got a really unique idea to make, and it's a very big idea. This is like bold, big idea that would make Minnesota an economic powerhouse, maybe on par with California in the United States. But it would take a real true leader to move in that direction. And I would like to write that and see if the public believes that it's a good idea, and maybe build some support for making some fundamental changes that raises the standard of living for everyone. You know, faith without works is dead, and I would like to see my faith work and do something to help other people.
I have to ask you this before I let you go, because I'm a big fan of at-home pets, and I have two cats myself. So what's the name of your two cats?
Sassafras and Juniper.
Well, my cats, Macy and Shoshana, say hello, and they thank you, and I thank you for joining me on the program as well. I feel like we just touched the surface of many things, Andrew. You're fascinating. I'd love to get you back here on the program, maybe in the new year, and we can talk some more. Best of luck with the book, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
Andrew Pruitt on the program. His book is called Shaped by Water. It is available now through Fox Point Publishing. Get your copy at foxpointpublishing.com/author-Andrew-Pruitt. And again, that is Pruett. This is the Trevor J. Brown Show.